Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Prime Time on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Prime Time is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Sort of.
About that. That's Danielle Brugioli.
Something like that.
Man, she's rich now.
What a horrible human being.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
I feel confident in saying that.
You whore.
She's like 14.
What?
So that may be a bit extreme, but I did call her a terrible human being.
Well,
can you be a terrible human being at 14?
When you said
you called her a horrible.
Horrible.
I know.
And that's what I, when I heard that, you can't do, well, maybe you can.
I wasn't saying that.
Did you say, can she be a terrible human being at 14?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
No question.
Well, I saw like in California, I think it was, you can no longer be tried as an adult if you're under 16.
At all?
Yeah, they just passed a law.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I think it was California. It might have been New York. I'm fairly certain it was California.
Could you tell me how I'm supposed to feel about that?
I was kind of bummed about that because I hate the...
Just a kid excuse?
Just a kid excuse. If you're 15 and you get all liquored up and then you take your car and you plow it into some people, yeah, you should go to prison.
Like affluenza teen?
Yeah, that bothers me. Like you're like, oh, well, you're going to spend 3 years in juvenile hall and then at 18, hey, forgive and forget, you were just 15. I don't buy that. It's like the school shooter thing, right? Like if you're 14, you go in and you mow a bunch of people down at a school. I don't want to hear that you're 14. Crap. No, you're old enough to know better. And that bothered me when I saw that law was passed, that you can no longer be tried as an adult.
All right, coming up here, a little college football. So last weekend we had Oklahoma, Auburn, and LSU all stumble. So who does that open the door for? As we move along through the college football season that is. We also have Kevin Love opening up a little bit about playing with LeBron James.
In a stunning development, it can be a pain in the ass.
Yes, we'll tell you what he said. Coming up in the club hour tonight, is it better to be born gifted or rich?
Ooh, intrigued by this.
This is a definitive study.
I have Lenny Dykstra news as well.
Oh, God. Do we have to listen to him lay carpet?
No,
I'll
but
you're for a
like
while,
really,
no.
Really carpet.
No.
Not like.
No, not that.
Doing
well,
it.
You know. Did you say doing it?
Yeah. Isn't that what they call it?
I think that's pipe.
Oh. Oh, I'm such an old. My apologies. He may not want to do them. But.
What? I also have what could quite possibly be the best and the crappiest app all mixed into one that's happening in San Francisco right now.
An app.
Yeah, there's an app. There's a poop app. That's all the rage in San Francisco right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. It's actually kind of a clever idea.
All right. Well, that'll be in the club 6 to 7 tonight. Right now, we're going to do a little sports. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, jolly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
Bro.
Guys, move on.
Bro.
It's not breaking news, dude.
Bro.
I think it's really sexy.
Bro.
Bifurcate.
Bro.
Fantastic every day.
Number five.
Today in sports cruelty, Titans have cut wide receiver Nick Williams. He dropped the game-winning touchdown pass in the Bills game. Williams was an undrafted free agent out of UConn back in 2013. He is a capable return man, though, so maybe he could find a home. But he dropped the pass. When I was watching that game, he dropped another big one, maybe two other big ones. He sucks, and so they cut him. And everybody's saying, well, Mike Vrabel, you know, sucked on the – I mean – Mike Vrabel studied under Bill Belichick.
What you meant is that he suckled at the power teat of Bill Belichick.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
Although I butchered it and aborted. And so, you know, Bill is ruthless.
Yes.
And cruel.
Yeah.
And so...
But it's not
Vrabel
cruel.
Vrabel sending a message to Nick Williams.
It's not cruel when we cut like kickers for missing a field goal or two, but it's a position player and we all freak out.
Well,
it happens. Don't suck.
I don't think anyone's freaking out. But,
no, but.
Yeah, it's like, make the catch, dude. Come on.
Look, when you're on the bubble,
you're a wide receiver.
One or two plays makes the difference.
What are you supposed to do?
Catch the ball.
All right. Jimmy Butler practiced for the Timberwolves today. And at one point, this is, by the way, the first time he's practiced since demanding a trade. And at one point, he turned to the GM who was on hand and said, quote, you effing need me. You can't win without me. End quote.
Yeah. I guess he went after Thibodeau. He went after Karl-Anthony Towns.
Apparently, he led the reserves to a win over the starters and dominated the gym in every way, according to Woj.
It was like a mic drop.
Everybody was all speechless and he's amazing and this and that. I don't know. Then he went on ESPN with Rachel Nichols and explained his situation. But the Wolves still don't have a trade worked out to unload Butler. It appears the Miami Heat possibly the closest to acquiring him.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler said that he was, you're just getting raw Jimmy Butler. And that he hasn't hooped in a long time. And a lot of emotion came out. And he probably could have handled it better, but he doesn't really regret it.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't want to be there.
After all, he makes millions.
That's true. This is last year, though. So the Timberwolves eventually have to deal him. He's going to walk at the end of this year for nothing.
Odds are out on the Final Four of baseball. The Astros are slight favorites of the Red Sox in the American League Championship Series.
Is this how many games did the Red Sox win? 108. 108. Is this the first time a 108 win team has been an underdog?
That would be a good question.
I mean, that's a.
It would be a very good question.
Yeah, it's like the best team. I don't know. The Mariners won 116. Were they underdogs in any of theirs?
They might have been. They played the Yankees, right?
Yeah, that's why I was wondering.
Dodgers, slight favorite over the Brewers in the National League. Game one, LA-Milwaukee is Friday. That'll be Clayton Kershaw against TBD.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
And then game one, Houston-Boston is Saturday, and that will feature Chris Sale against Justin Verlander.
So odds are, according to Vegas, that we get a rematch of last year's World Series, which was a great World Series.
Go Dodgers.
Yeah, what do you stand to win again?
Two G's.
Drinks on you.
Couple G's, bro.
So you said that so nonchalant. Huh? Just two G's.
Just two G's.
Yeah.
It's good to be Isaac Rupp.
I only risked a hundo, though.
I know. This one, would this
That's,
be
again, your... Again, it's good to be Isaac Rupp.
Would this be your best gambling win ever?
No.
Really? $100 to win two G's?
Again, it's good to be Isaac Rupp.
A couple years ago, you'll be saying that all day, bro.
Yeah.
Cocky sniff. a couple years ago, I won $9,000 in that... Survivor pool. That was pretty big. I had some big blackjack hands in my day.
That's true. I forgot about this.
Still alive in my survivor pool this year for $15,000.
And that nine was you split it, right?
Yeah, we had to split it. I was one of the final, I think there were four of us left.
Mm-hmm.
And, I told you that story, right?
Yeah.
There were four of us left, and the other three were like, they were just like, oh, we all had to agree. We had to come to a consensus. And the guy said, you can either split or you can keep going. And I'm like, well, what's. Come on, let's keep going. It's supposed to be winner take all. Yeah. And all these weenies were like, oh, no, split it.
Hopefully you reported that to the IRS.
Of course not.
Yes.
Of course not.
No
of course.
No one look into Rob's gambling. No one.
Ah.
I forgot about that $9,000. Because $100 to
it's
win $2,000 is great.
Yeah, it's long gone, though. What, did we just run through number two without even giving a story?
I think it was your gambling. I think that was the number two.
Well, I have long contended that Maurice Harkless is a key piece of the Portland Trailblazers when he's playing well. So far this preseason, though, he just can't stay healthy. He believes his recent ankle pain is due to his offseason knee surgery. However, Maurice Harkless is expected to play tonight in the preseason game for the Trailblazers against the Suns. This one is here in town at the Moda Center. Tickets are going for $6. If you're going tonight.
By the way, he's not kidding. $6.
Yeah, we looked it up.
Parking passes, $24. So way, take the max and you're fine. $6 to get in.
Or go find one of those after 7 p.m. free street parking spots.
Oh, yeah.
Take the max train. The needle's probably clean.
Wow.
If you're going tonight, you will not see Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum. They are going to rest. You will not see Evan Turner or Gary Trent Jr. They are hurt. The Blazers are 1-2 in the preseason. They will play the Suns tonight, the Kings Friday, and then the season opens against LeBron and the Lakers here in town. That game will be 1 week from tomorrow.
Yeah, T-minus, the NBA in general, what, October 16th? So we're 6 days away.
How about that? Coming up, we are going to talk about LeBron James and Kevin Love talking about playing with the Chosen One. What must that be like?
I'm sure it's heaven, right? Kevin Love never had any problems with that.
LeBron James talked about playing with LeBron James?
He's done that before.
Yes, I think he has.
The Hot 5-5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and game tickets. Up next, though, what about the Pac-12 champ maybe getting into that college football playoff? The landscape changed a little bit last weekend. We'll talk about it when we return on The Fan. Yes!
Prime time with Pacers, Isaac and Duke, yes! On 1080 The Fan.
Oh,
we have made...
Sorry.
I really think we have hit an all-time low.
1-0 Pacers. Yes. I got money on this.
This is an all-time low for this program.
Can you please put on something, anything other than
what?
Preseason NBA non-Blazer basketball?
That was my
I'm
question.
Watching Food Network. Raise your standards.
Anything.
Hey, guys.
We have a TV here in the studio, and we usually have some sort of sports going on. And Rob comes in during the break, and I was eating some cheese and some almonds, and I glanced up, and I thought...
Pepper Jack, if you're wondering.
Pepper Jack is with a smokehouse almond.
Although the Gouda's better.
The Gouda's much better.
Normally, I go with the Gouda.
But the Gouda goes faster, too.
But I went with the Pepper Jack today because I didn't feel like the wasabi nut.
I love cheese.
So I went with the regular smokehouse almond. So I thought maybe I would add some Pepper Jack to spice it up a little bit. Point is, I glance up and I think to myself, good God, are we really watching preseason basketball between the Bulls and the Pacers?
Cheese is cheese.
Yes,
I
we
don't
are.
Think we've ever sunk this low.
Well, what do you want to watch?
Look, on this program.
Here's the truth. Today is a rare day where you can put a movie on in there if you'd like, because there's really nothing to watch.
There's nothing on sports-wise. It's crazy.
I'm watching guys' grocery games in here.
It's a busy time of year for sport, and yet there's nothing on at 5:19 on a Wednesday. That's
well, you
crazy.
Know what's on? Nate McMillan battling the Chicago Bulls.
Excuse you.
No, I won't excuse me, because this is terrible that we're watching this.
All right. Well, anyway, you turn it to whatever you want, dude.
Is
I don't
Tyra
care.
Tyra Banks on? What's happening? Where's the Real Housewives?
One
of the Real Housewives' husbands is getting deported.
You guys
to
also
Italy.
Need to remember that we are sports talk show hosts.
Hockey's on
and
right
people
now.
Are tuning in to us to find out the score of the big games.
Well, oh, hockey's on?
Hockey's on.
Is this regular season or
yes,
is this?
Yes, it's regular
it is?
Season.
So
they got Capitals and Golden Knights.
Oh, that's a good game too.
Yes, it is.
Stand well, I just flipped to the hockey game.
Rematch?
Goodbye,
Stand
Guy Fieri.
Rematch.
Yeah, see, I knew
Meanwhile,
that.
You had turned on the Bulls and the Pacers.
I didn't turn anything on. It was
you
just
did
on.
Turn it on.
I didn't turn it on. Don't yell at me.
You're in charge of the remote over there.
No.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
You have a remote. You have your own remote. Don't blame this on me.
Now it's off of that. Great. Mom and Dad are fighting. Great environment we've created.
Hey, there's something today that got Larry Scott's
Dad?
Sports panties in a bunch, and we'll get to that coming up here. Okay, so Oklahoma lost.
Yes.
To Texas in the Red River Showdown.
The Texas tried to give that game away, but it was saved by Dicker the Kicker.
Well, I thought Texas wore out. That game, let me tell you something right now, you son of a bitch. Let me tell you something.
I'm ready.
That game, the Texas-Oklahoma game, mm-hmm. to me, is the best game in college football.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh, it's a bold statement.
And there are, well, one, it always seems to be really good.
Yeah, even when the teams, like Texas has been bad the last handful of years,
it's
but,
always
but
a
Texas
good game.
Has beat them a couple times.
And I just feel like it always comes down to the wire and it's always crazy and something wild happens. And two, the environment at that game, so they play that at the old Cotton Bowl,
yeah,
right? because it has like the fairs going on and all that. And one, it's never a night game because of that, because people get too wasted. They want them at the fair at night, right? Yeah. So it's always a day game, which I think is great. And two, the scene that they that it's like 50-50, half Oklahoma, half Texas. They both have great fan bases that travel and show up for the game. It's a huge rivalry. Like, that's perfection. That game is perfection. Like, imagine Washington and Oregon, who are playing this week, huge rivalry, right? Imagine them playing that at, I'm trying to think, like, let's say we take that sucker down to the New Vegas Stadium every year, and in however many years, 100 years from now, it's half Duck fans and half Washington fans, and they play that every single year, and it's just a barn burner every single year, at least seemingly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just that game is awesome.
I understand where you're coming from. And it stands alone in the rivalry games because of it's played earlier in the year. The end of the year, you know, we get the Civil War, you get the Apple Cup, you get Michigan, Ohio State, you get the Iron Bowl. But this one happens towards the beginning of the year before the halfway point, and that kind of helps it stand out because there's so many other rivalry games at the end of the year.
Well, and the bowl games a lot of times can be good, you know, when they're in neutral locations, and then you get like Ohio State fans coming all the way out to the Rose Bowl and Oregon fans, you know. But it's rare that you get a situation where you really, it seems like you get 50-50.
Yeah.
And you can see it by color demarcation, and just, it's just, I don't know, man. And all the fans seem way into it. That game rocks. Anyway.
And I went back and looked over the last handful of years, and you're right. It's been pretty back and forth. There hasn't been a one-sided run here for a while, but it's funny. So Texas has not been good up until this year when they were 19 and they beat number 7 Oklahoma, but Texas beat them in 2015 when Texas was obviously unranked. Oklahoma was number 10, and then they beat them in 2013 when Texas wasn't ranked and Oklahoma was number 12. So even when one team has been down, there has been really good football games.
Well, that's a good rivalry for you, right?
Yeah, it is. So I'm looking here the last couple of years. We've had 48-45, 29-24, 45-40, 24-17, 31-26. You have to go back 36-20 from 2013 was the last time that you even had one. And that's not necessarily a blowout. They have been right there. You're right.
Yeah, we have a listener who went last weekend. He said, went to the game, awesome atmosphere, and the people couldn't be better. I'm a Duck season ticket holder. Man, the split was awesome. Meaning, I think he's talking about the fans.
Yeah, the fans.
Yeah. So anyway, they lost Oklahoma because they were, you know, they seemed to be the Big 12's hopes of making the college football playoff. Auburn lost.
Yep.
Which hurts Washington a little bit, you know, and their whole resume thing.
Yeah, you
since
wanted,
they lost to Auburn.
You wanted Auburn to continue to go because if Washington ends up winning out, well, Oregon will end up looking pretty good. But look, let's be honest, any of the Pac-12 resume is not going to be the best in the country. You need a ton of help if you're the Pac-12.
So then LSU stumbled. So now you kind of look at it and go, well, it's still the Big Four, right? The Big Four.
It's the Big Five, really.
You count Notre Dame?
Yeah, you count Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame.
Well, I was going to mention them in a second. But the Big Four are Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Yes.
And I made you bet a couple weeks ago. I said, is it going to be those four, or you can have any other combination?
I made you give me Notre Dame as well.
I did. I gave you those five.
You gave me five.
And
to
you
fill
said
four.
It would be four of those five.
Yes.
Which is, I think that's an indictment on the system. However, it is what it is. So we'll see. We'll let it play out. I think the kind of the fun of getting there still is that really all those teams have to do is stumble once, maybe twice.
Maybe twice.
And they're out. So that kind of creates the drama.
Because
of college football.
I think any one of those teams, with the exception of Notre Dame, I think Notre Dame probably has to be perfect. I think any one of those teams stumbles, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, I think they still get in over a Big 12 right. or a Pac-12 one-loss champion.
Okay, but you still can't stumble too much. Like, it's a big deal when those teams lose. It's
absolutely.
It's kind of the... That's kind of the fun of watching it all the way to the end, even though it really does look like these are the four of these five will get in. Well, anyway, now with Oklahoma, Auburn, LSU out of there, you know, who could sneak in? And now guess who they're talking about? They're talking about Texas. Remember how much fun we made of Texas?
Yeah, lost to Maryland.
When they lost to Maryland, and now they're sitting there. If they win the Big 12, will Florida, look at what Dan Mullen's doing at Florida, even though they've already lost once. They're sitting there ready to jump into the mix. Would the Big 12 or Pac 12 champ be more likely to get in? I don't know. But it's kind of opened the door for some others.
Sure.
Like West Virginia.
West Virginia is undefeated, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, they haven't played anybody yet, though.
No, but I mean, if
I think Texas is better than West Virginia.
I do, too. And the Big 12 will play itself out because, as they tell you, there's one true champion because they all play each other. Like no one
I mean,
misses.
West Virginia did play Kansas, though, in fairness.
Yeah, and it was a close game, so.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
It's a tough game.
Well, anyway, I don't know. Notre Dame doesn't have a ranked team left on their schedule.
No, I think Notre Dame's got a real good chance to run this thing.
That Brian Kelly, he's something else.
You know, the interesting is, you know who could be the odd man out in this is Clemson.
Really?
Clemson doesn't look very good and hasn't looked very good. They kind of remind me a little bit of Florida State the year that the Noles got rolled by Oregon. Remember, they went undefeated, but it seemingly they had like eight comebacks, right? And a couple of those were mad scrambles. I think if you ended up in a situation where, well, I guess you can't because Alabama and Georgia aren't going to be undefeated. They're going to have to play each other. But if you ended up with some one-loss teams and you were trying to determine, you know, kind of pecking order, who's in, who's out, I don't think Clemson is going to get the benefit of the doubt. One, the ACC isn't very good. They've eked by a win against Texas A&M. They eked by a win against Syracuse. And if you look right now on their schedule, the way it's shaping up, their only ranked team is North Carolina State. At the end of the year, they may not have a team on their schedule that is ranked in the top 25, and they haven't particularly looked dominant doing it.
Yeah, so but they're going to go undefeated because even though they don't look good, their talent wins out.
Well, and that's the thing. If they go undefeated, it's fine. It's like Florida State, they're in. But if Clemson's, of those teams, the one that may be in the biggest danger if they stumble isn't even Notre Dame. It may be Clemson.
Yeah, well, there's a long way to go. It was just an interesting weekend in that those three teams kind of jumped out of the picture. And so who jumps in? I mean, the Pac-12 champ at this point,
you need a ton of help.
The only two teams that really have a chance are Washington, Oregon, and then maybe Colorado.
Yeah.
If they don't lose, well, but Colorado's not going to go.
Colorado hasn't played anyone. Look, you basically you're dealing with probably Washington and Oregon. Right. Whoever wins this game.
What if Oregon gets into the college football playoff?
I don't think it would. They would need so much help.
You don't think so?
It's the worst schedule in Division I.
And then it goes back to that to blowing that Stanford game.
Blowing the Stanford game. And I'm not saying that to throw shade at Oregon. That's a fact. At the start of the season, that was ranked as the worst Power 5 schedule. And it's not going to help you either that when you look at Oregon's resume, that a team like Stanford, who beat you, has already lost twice and is probably going to lose again. So when you look at their schedule, they will have beaten basically what, one ranked team? Although no, Cal was ranked 24th, I think, when they played. Cal's not going to be ranked in the top 25. So your one team that you will have played and beaten will be Washington. And if Washington loses, unfortunately for you, people are going to point to the Auburn loss and they're going to say Washington wasn't that good to begin with. I really don't think that there's much chance at all that Oregon gets in, even if they run the table the rest of the way.
Take that for data.
You would need a ton of help. You would need Notre Dame to lose. You would need Clemson to probably lose twice, because I think a one-loss Clemson, they would still get in over Oregon. You're going to need a Big 12 champ to probably lose twice. You're just going to be at the back of the pecking order. And, you know, that's more than likely that won't happen. I also think you would get jumped by a one loss Alabama or a Georgia. If both of those teams were perfect and ran through and lost in the SEC title game, I think one of those would jump you. So I think the, what is it? 538, the playoff predictor. I think they have Washington as the best bet in the Pac-12. And I think it's like at 11% as far as the ability
well,
to get in.
Like a texter said, this stuff always plays itself out, and it does,
yeah,
for the most part. So there's no sense with that. The whole exercise, it's just always fun, you know, to kind of speculate, well, who's got a shot, you know, and this last weekend, those teams changed dramatically from Oklahoma, Auburn, LSU. Not that those guys are all the way out,
yep,
but enter Texas, enter Florida, enter, you know, Washington, Oregon winner, enter all these teams
well, you mentioned
that
Florida,
we weren't talking about
Florida
before.
Just got a huge pelt on their wall with the top five win, and in 2 weeks they get Georgia. And if they find a way to beat Georgia, then you're sitting there at Florida, and you've got wins over two top five programs rolling through the SEC East with a showdown against Alabama.
All right. Larry Scott, he's the commissioner of the Pac-12. His sports panties are in a bunch.
What's he all pissy about?
I'll tell you. It's a good question because, yeah. I mean, it's like
there's the
maybe
tease.
Maybe people are out there going like, well, wait, what's he talking about? Well, that's why we're here.
He's upset about the revenue, the schedule, the lack of respect, the officials. I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of things to be pissed about.
No, he's upset about the women's tennis issues that are going on.
Me too.
You heard about that?
Yeah, I feel deeply about that.
He's big in women's tennis. You know, he came from the WTA. And then Kevin Love, we have time here. We're going to talk about Kevin Love on Playing with the Chosen One. He has spoken out. Here is Michael with Sports Center.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 5:37. Here is what Larry Scott has all been out of shape about. It's kind of confusing, but also not really. Out in California, so let's go all the way back to the Reggie Bush scandal.
Do we have to?
Yeah, just for a moment.
Okay.
So do you remember Todd McNair?
Yeah. So he was the guy that ended up taking the fall. He was the running backs coach, right? And he sued.
Yep.
The NCAA sued USC because he kind of got the blame for being the go-between.
Yeah, he has taken it. I mean, it's been 7 years.
Yeah.
And he is taking these lawsuits all the way to the end. Well, in California, a judge just ruled that.
I did see this. I know what you're talking about now.
The show cause given to Todd McNair, and what a show cause is when the NCAA finds a coach has done something wrong, they can implement them with a show cause. It could be a year, 2 years, 3 years.
So you can't coach during that period. So like Chip Kelly got one of these for the Willie Lyles thing. Jim Tressel got one. And by the way, you don't have to. You can leave and serve it. It's not like you have to. You could be there and be suspended. So Chip Kelly's, I think, was for a year or two. So he's left and went to the NFL and served it out. Jim Tressel obviously has served his, but has never come back to college football. But it prevents you from working in the NCAA while you have a show cause.
Well, a California judge ruled that was unlawful.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't. So this is a big deal because, in that state, just in California, If they say that a show cause penalty is unjust, which that's what they just ruled, then this is why Larry Scott's pissed. He's like, well, then that means that all of our California schools are Pac-12 members are going to have a hard time staying in the Pac-12 because they're operating on a different set of rules than the rest of the schools in the league. In other words, the NCAA has to be able to punish coaches that they catch cheating with show causes. And if they don't, then we're not certain. He issued a statement today. He said, we're not certain that they can stay members of the Pac-12.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of this. It's really odd. Could you force the California schools to sign something sane that they'll allow show causes in order to kind of keep the peace?
I don't know.
It's really odd that you would have a situation like this, that like if a coach at Cal gets dinged for the same thing that a coach at Oregon does, you can't punish them the same way. It's the damnedest thing.
Yeah. So what the judge said was that punishing a coach with a show cause shows unlawful restraint on engaging in a lawful profession.
Yeah.
So you can't do that. So Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said, if California law prevents institutions in that state from honoring such commitments, it is hard to see how the Pac-12's member universities in California could continue to meet the requirements of NCAA membership. Thus, the court's tentative ruling would place at risk the competitive and scholarship opportunities that flow from NCAA participation for the Pac-12's California member universities.
By the way, horse ass Larry. Really?
And that's what the judge said too. The judge said, well, that's speculation.
Nice fear mongering there. Really? So the NCAA and the Pac-12 are going to say to USC, going to say to UCLA, going to say to Stanford, no thanks. You don't get to play in our reindeer games. Yeah, something tells me that USC and Stanford will call that bluff.
Yeah, so Scott basically is floating the idea that L.A. is now not an NCAA market.
Yeah.
Which is
That's
fascinating.
That's the dumbest thing ever. Because what does the Pac-12 pride itself on more than anything else, right? It's the academics of it, right? They love to hold that up. Well, how would losing Cal, Stanford, UCLA, and USC, how'd that be for the whole academic standing there of the Pac-12? I don't buy that. This is saber rattling, trying to kind of, you know, get the schools to fall in line, but there's not a chance in hell that anything happens to these schools that they get kicked out of the Pac-12.
Well, I don't know about kicked out, but the NCAA said, under McNair's interpretation of California law, even if the NCAA has conclusive proof that a coach was breaking the rules, say a video of the coach paying players or receiving money from agents, it would be powerless to sanction that coach in any way that would restrain his ability to continue unabated in his present duties and responsibilities.
Yeah, but I wonder if you could find, you could get the institutions to sign something saying that no one would hire him. I guess it wouldn't prevent him from going elsewhere to get a job, but I'm sure you can pass some sort of conference legislation that the schools can come to some sort of agreement. And that's, to me, what this is. They're trying to rattle this in order to get something done here. Because again, to me, there's no chance, none, that they jeopardize those California schools standing with the Pac-12.
He also said this was the NCAA. Simply put, there is no evidence from trial that McNair was ever restricted, much less preempted from obtaining a college football coaching job after the expiration of his show cause penalty. Well,
no, it's just his reputation was so damaged that no one can touch him. There is one of those
that's beside the point. Like, they're talking about the show cause.
Yes. And how,
after the show cause.
No.
Dummies.
It just.
All right.
I do love that all of this still could have gone away by Reggie Bush or some USC booster writing a check for $250,000. You think if you could go back in a time machine and just go to some, you know, go to any USC booster and be like, look, all we need is $250,000 and this all goes away. And why didn't someone write that check? It baffles me that no one at that institution that's just hemorrhaging cash in donations and big time boosters, that no one could come up with the money to pay that Lloyd Lake guy off.
All right, coming up next, Kevin Love weighs in on playing with LeBron James. 544 on the Fan. Yeah, well, it looks like we may have a new league in college football.
The
California schools.
The Pac-4.
San Diego State, throw them in there. They're pretty good this year.
Can you imagine if you had to get rid of those, like who you fill it with, like BYU, Boise State, like you'd be San Diego State,
Texas, Oklahoma.
Break up the Big 12.
Kansas.
I get that, you know, that people saying that you can't sign a contract in California because it's against the law, but someone pointed out that the NCAA might be
sign
able to,
you can sign
like a non-compete.
Yeah, yeah. That's just, it's a California law. You can't prevent someone from working.
Yes.
Say you and I are doing a show in San Diego and you get fired, the company could say, well, you can't work for another company here in this market for 6 months.
And
that's called a non-compete.
And we have that here.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of media contracts have those.
Sure.
But in California, you cannot have those in any form. And that's why the judge said that the show cause is restrictive and unlawful. So
someone brought up the fact, could you do something where, you know, if a school hires someone, there's penalty towards the schools, or would that be viewed as collusion? There's just a lot of really smart people when you're dealing with billion-dollar universities, really important ones. There has to be a way around this.
Well, if you're a big fat cheater, you could look at those California jobs a little closer, right?
Well, but if you were USC and your coach got caught up in a scandal, does anyone really think the school would be like, well, screw you? You know, we're not doing that. And by the way, the NCAA could still punish that university.
Yeah.
You just couldn't force them to fire that coach. But what school would keep that coach on? I just don't think it's this doom and gloom scenario where in any way this would jeopardize athletics at these places. And yes, someone did point out San Diego State is in California, so they wouldn't be allowed in.
Allowed into what?
The new Pac-12. We can't have San Diego State in the new Pac-12.
What I was saying was San Diego State would be in the new league.
The new California League.
The new California League with Jose State and Stanford and
the University of San Diego, right?
USD. What else do we have? Chico State. They got a football team.
Yeah, Long Beach State. They got
all
a football
the Cal
team.
States.
All the Cal States. Yeah. Maybe
be better than the old Big East.
Weed University. Does Weed have a football team out there?
I don't think they do. All of a sudden, Cal State Fullerton starts playing football. Going to go into that.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, and you can cheat your ass off.
Yeah.
You won't get a show cause.
Yeah, but they can still punish your team.
Yeah. Whatever.
No big deal.
Kevin Love has weighed in on playing with the Chosen One. Chosen One being LeBron James.
And apparently it's not all that it's cracked up to be?
Well, stunning. Well, first of all, Kevin Love's not really talking about it. You know, like he's kind of sugarcoating it.
Yeah.
We know it sucks, okay?
Well, he talks
I would love his true opinions about it.
He talked about that it's challenging.
Here's what he said. He said, quote, "You have to follow. You have to learn a lot about that."
Yeah.
End quote. He told a story that the first day of practice in Cleveland was 2014. LeBron took all the players into the locker room. He took them off of the practice court and into the locker room and told them what each of their roles would be. Meanwhile, the coach of the team is David Blatt. He is waiting out on the court to resume practice. And LeBron was in pointing fingers at him, telling him, here's what you're going to do, here's what you're going to do.
That's awesome.
And so Love said his perspective was unique because when he was in Minnesota, oftentimes he got criticized for not being a good enough leader. And it was, you know, it was like there wasn't any continuity there. And so he said that when he went to Cleveland, he was really working on the idea of being more vocal and being a better leader and being a better teammate and this and that. And so he was working on that. And then he got to Cleveland with LeBron, and LeBron just squashes all of that.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he's like, shut up.
Yeah. He said,
I'm LeBron, I'm in charge.
He was talking about it was challenging to have your voice heard and kind of still remain who you are, but.
And that's why.
And still follow LeBron.
Yeah. And so that's why Love was kind of saying that. This is why it seemed like LeBron and Kevin Love didn't have the best relationship, is because Love said that he was at a place in his career where he wouldn't shut up. And yeah. He would say what he thought to LeBron. And of course, LeBron, he didn't like that. He's the chosen one.
And Love said it was hard because there was no continuity. He said with the revolving door of players, you never really knew what your role was. Are you a post guy? Are you a spot up guy?
You're whatever LeBron tells you you are.
Pretty much.
And now shut up.
And apparently that changes multiple times throughout the course of the season. Look, did anyone, you're right, by the way, he held back in this, but did anyone think that it wasn't challenging to play with him? I'm guessing it was challenging to play with anybody that's like that. It was a challenge to play with Magic. It was a challenge to play with Jordan. It's probably a challenge to play with Bird. I don't know if I've ever been on a team with that kind of alpha guy. When I got to Denver, Elway had just left, and some of the stories that they would tell about Elway were kind of like this, where Elway did what he wanted and he could undermine the coaches and they couldn't really do anything about it. Like, there were great stories about Elway in the middle of training camp adjourning meetings and taking guys to bars. And the coaches being like, well, we're not done. And Elway being like, yeah, we are. Meeting's over. We're going to the bar.
Great little player.
And what are you supposed to do? Are you going to tell John Elway that you're benched?
There you go.
No. And it was this weird, like, some of the younger guys were like, they didn't know what to do because the coach would tell them to sit down. Like, no, you're here. And Elway's like, get your ass up. You're coming with me. So who do you follow? Do you follow Elway? Do you follow the coach? Well, in a study development, you follow LeBron and you follow Elway. Coaches at that level don't have nearly the pull that people think. We're used to, at every level, coaches being the end all, the be all. But you get to a certain level in professional sports, no. With the exception of maybe the Hoodie, maybe Popovich,
David Blatt.
You know, there's the coaches don't have final say. And that's why a lot of coaches fail going from college to the NFL. Is they're used to that. And the first time a player tells them to go F themselves, it's like a heart attack. They're like, what is this? A player disobeying me? Yeah. Because that guy's LeBron James, and he's 1,000 times more important than you are.
I can't even imagine.
All right. Coming up next, it's time for the Club Hour, folks. Tonight, we begin with a WAPO story.
A WAPO?
Washington Post.
Oh.
WAPO.
WAPO.
Yes. They did the definitive research. Is it better to be born gifted or rich?
I know which one I choose.
Which?
Well, we'll tell you when we come back.
Okay.
Ooh.
Good little tease.
The reverse tease.
13 years later, you're learning this radio thing.
You tried to lob that at me, and I top spun it right back into your end of the court.
True story.
All right, coming up next, Club 1080 on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.